In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The world holds feasts in honor of their birthday, for the new year, or for the victory of their favorite sports team. But with St. John the Baptist, we celebrate his death day, the end of his years, and his defeat by the cunning Herodias. We've got it completely backwards. We should be mourning. We should be cursing God for taking our beloved St. John from us. We should be grieving his decapitation, that gruesome scene on the cover of your service folder. But dear Christians, today is a feast. It is a reason to celebrate, to rejoice, and to give thanks. Today we praise the Lord at the beheading of St. John the Baptist at the hands of Herod Antipas. We thank God that St. John called Herod out for marrying his brother's wife. Indeed, she was his niece as well. We thank God for all the prophets, especially St. John the Baptist, who faithfully called the world to repentance and suffering their own martyr deaths. We give thanks for all who have continued this prophetic proclamation in Christ's holy office, especially for those who have died proclaiming the word. Beloved of God, we rightly remember St. John today with rejoicing. We celebrate his death. We give thanks for his life and testimony, that hard word of repentance he proclaimed. Why? Because St. John the Baptist died the death of faith. St. John died trusting in our Lord, the Savior. The unborn John beheld the glory of God when he leaped for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb. He boldly called the Pharisees a brood of vipers for their lack of repentance. But he heard the confession of the many, the multitudes who came to him by the river Jordan. There he baptized them for repentance, to prepare them for Christ's Holy Spirit, Christ's baptism, the fire that would burn away the chaff, leaving behind only a new man, absolved and forgiven. The baptizer points to Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when his time came to fade, he sent his disciples to Jesus, the greatest one, with sandals no one is fit to untie. John died in prison for boldly proclaiming Christ's word of gospel and law, his word of repentance and forgiveness. And yet many, maybe some of you, can't handle the sight of John's ugly head presented on a platter. So too, on December 26th, will you be able to handle the thought of St. Stephen's stoning? Or maybe even like last week, if you remembered St. Bartholomew, or Nathaniel, as he's sometimes called, his death, where his skin was flayed off of his bones. What of all the saints who have died terrible and hideous deaths for the sake of confessing the truth? These sights may be, for you, too ugly to consider, too horrible to imagine, not fitting for mention in good company, and maybe, for you, seeming not even appropriate to share with children. And yet, how much more gruesome is the death of the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He was beaten, he was flogged, bloodied, and bruised, hanging on a cross. His side was pierced with a spear, and his hands and feet with nails. They too, these wounds, might be too sorrowful for you to imagine. Yet, dear Christians, I urge you, it is proper to meditate on Christ's cross and passion. Even children should be reminded of the penalty that they have, that Christ has suffered, I should say, for their sin. The trespasses that they suffer were laid upon their own Savior. We ought to imagine the suffering and death of our Lord, have it etched upon our minds. And this is because we all have been baptized into Christ's death, as we heard from Romans. Many will suffer a death even like his, dying at the hands of sinful men for the sake of their witness of the word of law and gospel. But dearly beloved, we are not different than them. We suffer that same life as a martyr every day. Maybe we don't die at the hands of sinful men, but we too are like lambs being led to the slaughter. Consider, we are mocked when we share God's word, an offense to Jew and Gentile alike. We are wounded when we call others to repentance, especially in our own families, our church, or our world. The world curses and reviles us for having the gall to tell people to turn back from their wicked ways, their immorality, or their unbelief. The world would try to convict us in the court of public opinion. They murder us with words of shame and hatred. They will torture us when we have to suffer under unjust and not civil laws. We will suffer under the evil of homosexuality, idolatry of the government, the deification of celebrity and athlete in place of God, the dishonor of our Lord's Day, and the killing of the innocent child with abortion. We will be abused and violated in our own fellowship by other Christians when the evil intents of men and of Satan seek to destroy right believing and right worship. And yet in the midst of all of this, dear Christians, we are loved by God. We suffer and we rejoice. We look straight into the eyes of the world, the evil one, and even into the grave and laugh. We laugh with joy at our misfortune, our pain, and our misery. We cry out in thanksgiving for the deep wounds that are inflicted upon our flesh and our souls. We smile and sing a hymn when we are tormented and tortured. This is insanity, at least according to our own human nature. But we have hearts of faith that see St. John's head on a platter and rejoice in his forgiveness. Our hearts see Christ on the cross and rejoice at the new life and salvation that he won for us by that suffering and death. Our hearts of faith consider the death of all the saints as a cause for rejoicing. While we have been baptized into Christ's death, and so we suffer, we also have the promise of a resurrection like his, as we heard from Romans. So also each day when we suffer for our faith, we rejoice. We rejoice because we have been given faith to trust our Lord in his unfailing love. Such faith that trusts in our Lord is what caused Georg Neumark to write the hymn we just sang, "If thou but trust in God to guide thee." Upon his graduation from gymnasium, which is like grade school for us, Neumark left his home to go to university. But along the way, he and his friends were robbed. All their possessions were taken. Neumark was left only with his prayer book and what little money he had sewn into his clothes. And so, as he had to do in order to pursue that dream of university, he had to find employment to regain the wealth that he had lost. And indeed, it took many, many months before he was able to find good employment. And so on this occasion, Neumark wrote the hymn, "If Thou But Trust," to describe the time he suffered, the time where his life appeared to be leading toward death. This 20-something Neumark encourages us in that hymn to trust that God will give us strength to persevere through all our days. Christ is the rock that is unchanging and always loving. Our anxiety and ceaseless moaning do us no good, only adding bitterness to those crosses and trials we suffer. But our faith tells us to be patient, with cheerful hope and a heart content with whatever the Father's love sends our way. God knows when we need gladness, and he knows when we need sadness, both given to us in his loving care. Newmark says that we need not despair when we suffer fiery trial, when our hopes are not fulfilled, because the good that God intends will be worked in us. Instead, as we sang in the final stanza, we sing, we pray, and we keep His ways, performing our duties. We believe in His word, knowing that God never forsakes those in need, nor the soul that trusts in Him. What a wonderful gospel that Newmark proclaimed in the face of his own personal tragedy and despair. While our instinct is to mourn with St. John as well, in faith we rejoice that in St. John the word was proclaimed. St. John's very life is a testimony that the Holy Spirit can give comfort. Newmark's life and him bears witness of that same hope of the baptized. Speaking of baptism, that's the reason why we sang Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying at the beginning of the service. Its composer, Philip Nicolai, suffered persecution during a time of religious wars, most of his life indeed. He had to meet often secretly with his congregation to avoid his opponents who sought to kill him. He suffered for the sake of the gospel, especially when he was a pastor in Westphalia, Germany. In 1 year, almost 1,300 of his parishioners died from the plague. Most of those were in the latter half of 1 year, 1597. And in the records show that he had 170 parishioners die in 1 week. This pastor can't even imagine the funerals. To comfort his parishioners, he wrote a devotional, and he also wrote two hymns. How Brightly Shines the Morning Star, which we sing at Epiphany, and Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, which we usually sing in Advent. These two chorales, or hymns, are usually called the King and Queen of chorales, respectively. They encapsulate the ability of the Christian to rejoice in the face of death and martyrdom. Consider how Pastor Nicolai confessed this truth in his hymn. We will rejoice on the last day when the watchmen call us to arise from our sleep. Our voices will again rejoice and sing Alleluia, taking with us lamps of gladness to meet the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. All of Zion will hear the watchmen singing. All our hearts with joy will be singing. We will rise from our gloom to meet our victorious and all-glorious Lord. We will enter the wedding hall to eat the supper with the Blessed One, God's own Son. The heavens will ring out with harps and cymbals of clearest tone. We will all join in the choir immortal around the throne. And there we will behold our Lord's glory face to face, eternally singing hymns of praise and joys to Him. This joy that is confessed by Pastor Nicolai is the same joy that St. John looked forward to. This is the hope that St. John put his faith in, his trust in, that gave him the strength to confess boldly, even in the face of death. This is the hope that has defeated the death that John the Baptist and the saints might have otherwise suffered. Our final hymn for today, the recessional hymn, might be a little new to you. I understand you've probably only sang it once before. We may need to sing it a few times before it becomes comfortable. We may have to sing it years before it's a joy for you to sing. Christians, trust me, your patience will be rewarded. The Lutheran Talk Radio program, Issues, etc., recently polled its listeners as to their favorite hymns. And that final hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, were the listeners' top pick. They have over about 5,000 listeners internationally. This is really amazing to me, since the first time we even had opportunity to sing this hymn in English was in the 1998 hymnal supplement. Yet even with such a short history, just being available since 1998, this contemporary hymn has become an important part of the piety of English-speaking Lutherans, as it was for the German-speaking Lutherans who've had it for a long time. The composer Erdmann Neumeister was one of the chief authors of texts for Johann Sebastian Bach, that great Lutheran composer. Neumeister's hymn that we will sing is a song of joy that proclaims the great work of Christ in our lives. It offers the cornerstone, the foundation for us to suffer trial, temptation, and even a death like St. John the Baptist. We can suffer steadfastly in faith because we are baptized. Baptism is the one needful thing, the only treasure needed for eternal salvation. Because we are baptized, sin no longer disturbs us. A guilty conscience cannot seize us because Christ's blood has released us. Satan can no longer accuse us. He has no power over us because we have been joined to Christ in baptism. Death will not end our gladness. The faith given in baptism trusts in the life to come, who Neumeister calls the bright flashes of a future paradise, the life to come. We can live in the face of suffering, even staring into the open-eyed grave, knowing that we are God's children, children of paradise, and so have nothing to fear. And thus, today, on this festival of the beheading of St. John the Baptist, we, the baptized, can rejoice with St. John and all the martyrs of heaven. We can rejoice with all those who have seen the grave as a result of their sharing law and gospel with the world. They suffered for their proclaiming repentance from sin and forgiveness in Christ. They were martyred for the truth of their witness. But, dear Christians, even the headless St. John the Baptist will be raised on the last day. He was one of God's children and is sleeping in the grave waiting for the resurrection of the dead. So also our lives, as baptized into Christ's death, may be full of suffering and anguish. We may die the death of a martyr for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. But we have been washed with Christ's blood. We have passed through the Jordan's waters. We have heard the clarion call of Christ through his prophet, St. John the Baptist, to repent and be baptized into the kingdom of God. We are God's children, and we need not fear. We will receive a resurrection like Christ's. Rejoice, O pilgrim throng. You are God's child eternally. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind steadfast in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.